Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. I'm John Ryan, your host, and who was just butting in there was Sabina Miller.
Hello. As usual.
And now we're into our next segment, and who we have on today is LIAF, which is Long Island Alzheimer's Foundation. And we have with us Tori Cohen, who is the executive director, and Christine Rice, who is the community outreach and event coordinator. And LIAF is in Port Washington, right? And I believe, actually, next week we're having Ann Margaret Carozza on. And I think she's involved with you guys, because I know Ann, and I know she's involved. So coincidentally, she's on the program next week.
Yeah, she's been wonderful.
Yeah, she's a board member, and I see her every now and then. She does programs and helps out people, which is tremendous.
Yes.
But I want you guys to just start off with telling me about your organization, your mission, and, you know, because we have listeners, obviously, they have families with dementia, with Alzheimer's, and you're a resource. So tell us your mission and how would somebody approach you?
Well, our mission is to improve the quality of life for those living with Alzheimer's and related dementias.
Okay.
And we have been around for 28 years.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
A group of five women had started the organization. And since then, we've, you know, grown and grown and expanded. And we're a social adult day program that we help people from the earlier stages of Alzheimer's and dementia to the later stages.
I'm going to interrupt you there.
Yes.
Social adult day, which people don't understand, versus medical day.
Exactly.
It's important for people to realize the difference.
The difference with us is a medical model has a medical component to it, where our social model is programming, socialization, and we just don't have nurses.
Right, okay. You know, so people understand that. Okay.
Yep. And we also at the foundation with our social adult day program, we have support groups for caregivers, which could be spouses or adult children of people that have Alzheimer's and related dementias. We also have an in-home respite program where we send our trained companions who are employees to people's homes that have Alzheimer's and dementia. And we spend 2 hours every other week with the person that's diagnosed, and the caregiver can leave and go and do errands.
Okay, and go out and run, run chores and whatever they're doing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's just as much for the caregiver as it is for the person who's diagnosed.
Right, okay.
To give them some respite care.
That's important.
Yes.
Because you want to get out, and it's like you can get up to here sometime and ready to snap for the wrong reason. You guys can come in and hang out with the person who has Alzheimer's while the other person, which is great.
And it's also a good entry point where, you know, a lot of people are unsure about having people come to their homes, and it's a good way for our organization to start off in the home, and then eventually then maybe they will be feeling comfortable to come to our program at the foundation.
Okay.
And the, you know, get to know our staff a little bit better.
Right.
May I ask a question? Which is probably dumb. It's like asking, what's the difference between blue eyes and brown eyes? What's the difference between Alzheimer and dementia?
Well, I feel like the easiest way to describe it is Alzheimer's is a specific type of dementia.
Okay. Okay.
So, you could have just said that was a dumb question.
No, I'm not starting out that way. So I always think of it as dementia as an umbrella, and Alzheimer's is a spoke of the dementia. There's tons of other forms of dementia, frontal temporal dementia, Pick's disease, vascular dementia. So Alzheimer's is just another form of it.
Wow. I didn't know that either.
Most people don't. Yes. It's a very commonly asked question. Most people
don't. Is it really?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Because someone might say, well, I just have dementia. I'm not going to, you know,
well,
get
Alzheimer's. You know, when you get older and young people are around, and if you drop something and they pick it up and you drop it again, they'll say, are you getting a little dementia? Are you a little Alzheimer? You know, it's used interchangeable just to threaten.
Are you a little Alzheimer?
You don't know the things I do and the people I know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, I think a lot of people have
misconceptions.
Yeah, misconceptions, and there might be some forgetfulness. But, I mean, I always say, you know, there's some, you know, more clear signs of, you know, we always say if someone's forgetting you're in your parking lot at the grocery store and you're looking for your, you know, your car and you can't find it, you see people wandering, and that can be very common. But, you know, a lot of times with someone who has earlier signs, they might then go to their car and then say, now what do I do?
I was going to say, what are the first signs, or are there first signs, or is it a sudden, whoa, onslaught?
Well, I think there are definitely signs, but every person is different. So this disease doesn't progress the same in every single individual.
But I think it's just, you know, things that are disrupted in your everyday life, you know, judgment, trying to solve problems. Like if you start having, if you're someone that does your bills, starting to have problems taking care of your bills, yes, you might end up forgetting the due date on a bill is, you know, one date and you send it later, but then it's even, you know, knowing how to write a check and what you're doing with it.
Wouldn't it be that on the beginning stages, it really is the partner realizing, because some people might do their bills late every week, every month.
Right.
So therefore, that's normal. He forgot this. So you have to know the person and say, this is not mommy or daddy's normal way of doing things. Yes. They were neat and clean. This is not going on. And so the diagnosis is tough, I think.
It is tough, because also if you're personally involved, it's hard to see that and accept it.
Right.
My mother
had
Alzheimer's. We took care of her for 10 years. And, you know, we saw signs for a while and then realized that we needed to take her to a neurologist. But it's a very delicate balance in trying to go down that route with the person who is starting signs of it.
Because I was going to say, I think a lot of times, even with families you or spouses, you try to cover for it because, you know, it just doesn't seem reality that they're changing, you know, in front of you. So there is a lot of covering up in conversations. This is what they said, or this is what they meant to say.
Right.
I think, which is common. It happens a lot. And I think, you know, a lot of times people are thinking that other things are going on. There's just different issues that could be occurring. So then a lot of times when if someone ends up at the doctor and they're doing what they would might say a differential diagnosis of what else is this? Is this attention deficit in someone? Is this depression? You know, why are they acting this way?
Right, I agree.
Have you any figures on married people or people who live with their children versus single people who live alone? Are there more people who live alone who get it, or is it the same as someone who's married, who lives with their children, who's out? Because I tend to believe if you are alone too long, you lose it. You know, I have a bad back. I was in bed for a week. I'm out every day and so forth. And I was in bed towards the end of the week. The program's on and someone said, Adele, on the program. And I said, Adele, I know an Adele. Now, and this went on and on with me. It bothered me for 20 minutes, and then it came to me, Adele Colby. And I said, you know what? I'm not using it. I'm losing it. I got to get out of this bed, take my back with me, and get out with people. But does that contribute to it? Or you don't know?
I mean, I know that I think the first part of your question, when you said, are there statistics, I don't have them necessarily with me to say, but I think when you are living with someone, you know, it's the idea of what's happening with your behaviors or your memories is definitely going to come out a lot quicker than, you know, living alone. I think the most important part is the idea of what you said, keeping your mind active and keeping yourself in a group of people socializing, because that's really, you know, at the foundation, we want people to socialize. You want to have that conversation, because I think you're sitting in a room and, you know, not speaking. You know, we always say your neurons in your brain, nothing's firing. You're not active, you're sedentary. And it's, you know, we always say physical exercise is the most important. Well, guess what? Mental exercise is, you know, just as important as well.
Yeah. It was about a year ago. There was a Harvard study. It was a 75-year study about socialization. And it was four different people, because they passed away, who were running it, and went from Harvard graduates, so at 19 or 20, through, and then kept adding to it and came up with the importance of socialization, excuse me. And like what Sabina's saying, I mean, you can go on vacation and forget what day it is because you're not paying attention.
Right.
That's a little different, but when you're in a crowd, and that's why you're a very active woman, so you have to be out. If you're at home for 3 or 4 days, a long weekend, you say, is it Monday or is it Sunday? You get confused. That's why you have to be out, and that's Project Independence, and your center is just you bring the person there, and you'd be surprised. To see a friendly face makes you feel good.
Yes.
And
I think consistency of having a program to go to. I mean, for the person that has the diagnosis and the caregiver, that they know that there's a place that they go on Monday. We know that's going to happen on Monday, even if it's through a long long weekend. Let's get it going and let's get our week started, and it's familiar to both of them.
But right. Before they right. get to go, what are some of the signs
that they might have that the dementia? As Tori said, just forgetting everyday tasks that they would normally do. Word recognition is a big thing. If they can't find the words that they're looking for, misplacing things.
Oh, we all misplace.
Yeah, I do as well.
But even specifically, like Christine says, misplacing things. But if you might do this,
it's like putting your pearls in the refrigerator.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Exactly.
Yep.
And when you are starting to confuse time and place, yes, we all can say, okay, right, is it Monday, is it Monday or Sunday? But then on a level of when you are sitting with someone that's having those signs, and you might start to say, well, what year are we in, too? Mm-hmm. I mean, and it starts, even if it starts to be a couple years off of 2016, I mean, there's something that's just not correct, that's more obvious.
There's also behavioral things that you could see as well. It's not just necessarily that they're not remembering things or misplacing things. Their behaviors change.
In what
way? A lot of times in... When somebody is starting these signs, they know it's happening. So it's a very fearful, it causes a lot of anxiety, and it causes them to try and compensate and find ways so that nobody else is going to see the signs.
Now I understand what you mean.
Right.
What we're going to do is take a break on that. You're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org, and we'll be right back with Corey and Christine from LIAF.